Scott Waldman, Emily Burr, Jed Fuchs, and Jed, take it away.
That was such a beautiful little introduction to what's going to be an otherwise extremely raucous and high-energy intro, as well as high-energy episode of Waldman's Words.
Steve Zilberman.
Oh, I'm so pumped to have Steve on. He's a really smart dude. He works in some of the biggest names in entertainment, of modern entertainment, in the TikTok world. And he's the perfect example of a guy who doesn't need to be directly in music to be in entertainment.
And he's really smart. His story really blew me away on this episode. And clearly I like every episode of the show, but his blew me away. So thank you, Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn. We thank her every other episode. She brings us every good guest.
She brings us the guests. She brings us the heat. And she brought us the Zilberman.
All three of those things in a row, nonstop.
Those are what happens when you are at the Olympics, because there's a gold, a silver, and a bronze medal. So the Zilberman is definitely the gold, and then the other two, they could duke it out over silver and bronze.
Zilber and then silver. Yeah, absolutely.
One is Zilber and the other is gold.
There it is. There it is. Oh, we'll totally hit him up with that later. He'll love that.
Or if he's listening live right now, he'd love it, isn't it?
Well, he better be, because he was also most likely just on our Twitch stream that airs the hour before this show airs here on Adobe. So 4 p.m. Pacific is our Twitch stream. 5 p.m. is the episode you're listening to now. So,
but if he wasn't on the Twitch scream, we were on the Twitch scream.
Oh, no. Words escaping us. But really,
words.
Really, Steve is the perfect example of, if you asked him, he wouldn't be like, oh, I don't work in the music industry. I just work with all of these people and creatives and artists who wouldn't have a job and therefore give me a job without the music industry. It's so pivotal. We don't acknowledge how deep into American culture.
I want to acknowledge something about 2020 that was pivotal. And no, it's not the pandemic. And no, it's not anything bad. It's actually something good. Jed joining Waldman's Words.
Aw. I'm a little more than 1 year in, and I gotta say, it's been great.
I'm a little more than 1 year in, so.
Really, though, as I learned here on this show a year-ish ago, thanks to Neva, Save Our Stages, that every dollar spent on a music ticket is $12 into the economy. Hotels, drinks, travel,
parking.
Food. Parking, especially in LA.
Or Uber or Lyft, exactly. No matter what, public exactly. Or private transport. If you have a rocket and you need some jet fuel, you are technically contributing to the music economy. So God bless
exactly. You,
Elon Musk.
Exactly. Even though he wouldn't use jet fuel. So if you're listening to this.
Oh my God, you ruined my joke.
If you're listening to this and you're going to take your private jet to a live show, boom. See, there you go.
You ruined my joke. It was funny. And then bring in reality.
He doesn't use it because he doesn't use jet fuel in the first place.
I know.
God damn it. I ruined it.
But
show
you did
over.
Teach me something. Thank
show,
you.
Show over. Our next episode coming up was going to be the illustrious Steve Zilberman, but because I fucked all of this up, instead I'm buying everybody a ticket to whatever concert they want and a jet fuel to
that
get there.
Happens now.
Steve Zilberman on the show right after this break from Adobe. Thank you guys for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Waldman's Words here on Adobe Radio. Our special guest on the show today, Steve Zilberman, video artist and self-proclaimed, quote, just a dude. Thank you for coming on the show today, Steve.
What's up, Jed? I'm happy that you guys brought me on.
Yeah, you know, we like getting a wide variety of creatives here on the show. So even though we're a behind-the-scenes music type of show, we wanted to get someone with your expertise out. Speaking of which, before we dive into your sordid past, can you please give us like a 30-second overview of your career and what you do today?
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm the first of this kind. I coined myself as a viral engineer. And the reason is because I can't just call myself a creative director or a video artist or a video editor. because I do all of those. So I just call myself creative engineer, viral engineer, whichever you like more.
Very cool.
And see, so that's crazy to us right now, but at the same time, like 20 years ago, or like, this doesn't exist. So in the next 20 years, viral engineer is probably going to be like a well-known position.
Yeah, I might have my own school. Who knows?
Oh, of course, also on the call here today, of course, also on the show here today is our fearless host, Scott Waldman, and your co-host, Jed and Emily.
I just want you to know this is called frickin' Waldman's Words. I deserve more mention. That's all.
I think it's assumed that you are here.
Did you just assume?
Hey, man, you know. Yeah.
I did just assume. The show is called Waldman's Words.
I'm here. I'm there, and I'm everywhere. And I said off camera, and I'll say it on camera right now, anytime there's a guest with a last name like yours, I love that it's for Jews. I just love that.
Yeah.
And you laughed. So hello, Marilyn. Our job is done.
I want to go, let's go to the past, not too far in the past, just because I do want to keep this episode mainly about social media. Scott, as I was telling Jed earlier when you had left the room, this is going to be a very confusing show for you because all I want to talk about is TikTok.
Yeah.
Great.
But yes. Let's go back to the very, very early days of social media. So we're not going to out your age, but I do want to know, that did you grow up with social media and technology? When did you first get social media?
So, that's an interesting question. So I was actually way, way, way late in the social media game. Like I was probably the last person out of anyone that I know that got Facebook and whatever. But I was a gamer all throughout high school. And I mean, it's the only thing I cared about. In fact, I played at like a higher level. If you guys are familiar with Counter-Strike, yeah. I played like in this league, Cal, and I went through like Cal Main, which is like, so there's Open, which anyone can join. And then if you do really well in Open, you get bumped up to like Intermediate. And then probably like only 5 to 10% get to like Main. And I even got to Placement, which is like almost like professional level. So yeah. For a while, I really thought I was going to be a professional gamer. And I kind of, that whole like maybe like, you know, 6 years where I was just gaming all day, every day kind of gave me the understanding of like computer programs and technology. And I would like build computers. And I think that's why I was able to easily pick up editing software because I never went to school for any of this stuff. I just kind of just picked it up and learned it.
That's life though, right?
Exactly.
You know, picking things up and learning it. Yep. And no job can teach you everything about the job. It's just about working there and figuring it out for yourself, which is a very important skill.
Yeah. And coincidentally enough, I didn't know this at the time. So my biological father left me at birth, and I found out years and years and years later, he's actually a film director and producer. So it's a guy in my blood.
Whoa. Yeah. Doomed from the start, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
My dad sold fabric.
So.
Oh. Fabric store. I'm familiar with fabric store. I think I had an ex. This is a fun joke.
I get your joke. Okay, this good. Episode has potential already, and we are 1 second, 4 minutes and 49 seconds in, so I have a feeling we're going to learn more.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. So without explicitly aging you, we now do have the time frame if you were getting really good at Counter-Strike as a young man. I mean, whew, didn't we all have those days?
I just turned 30 years old.
That video came out when I was 180.
Okay.
All right. Video games? So what the hell is a video game?
Honestly, I'd expect that from you, though. We do have a general sense of your age just because, yeah, it's playing Counter-Strike and Facebook. Oh, my God. But this was also much before editing software was, like, very good and really before, like, the viral video concept was the result of like someone making a good video. Viral videos then were bad, poorly shot, but funny for that reason, genuine videos.
Even old episodes of Family Guy were bad when you watch them now.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, videos back then, viral videos were on E-Bomb's World, Break. You guys remember E-Bomb's World?
That was when I was 173, so it was...
Yeah, a young man.
Yeah, they kind of really. They had a monopoly over viral videos.
Yeah, well, when funnyjunk.com wasn't sweeping the nation, so.
Yeah.
Jed,
yeah.
I feel that you should talk about Funny Junk in our private chat. I don't think this should be a public thing.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, that's a, don't go to that website. It's not for kids. The But you're learning to shoot as well as edit video, I'm guessing, before there was really a big market for it. What was pushing you to do that?
Yeah, that, so I think it was like, it's been maybe 10, 12, maybe 14 years. I don't know exactly how many years, but I was like one of like maybe 5 or 10, what you call quote unquote videographers in Chicago. There wasn't much competition. I think the Lyrical Lemonade dude was like one of them, was this other guy. So it was definitely a smaller market, and I was more fortunate than others because my best friends in high school, they got signed to a metal band. So right off the bat.
Wait. When you said they got signed, like, tell us specifics about the band and if signing it's the label, because that's the stuff we love.
Okay. Oh, okay. So the label is Equal Vision Records.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Oh, you guys know who you are?
Yeah. Wait, give me the year. That they signed, because maybe I'll guess the band.
Well, this was years ago. Really? Okay. I think 2010.
Are they still an active band?
They weren't for like years and years, but they just came out with a song randomly. So I guess technically they are now.
That's okay, they just came out with, because Juliana Theory is not a metal band, but they just signed to Equal Vision. Equal Vision has had like Bear versus Shark, Coheed and Cambria, Armor for Sleep.
Yeah. Nice. Wow. You know your stuff.
I'm not even looking at fucking Wikipedia, bro.
They did.
No, he just knows it.
You missed the biggest one. I think they did like the first.
They did Circus Survive. They did. Oh, thanks. You focus on what I missed. Thanks a lot, guy. There's so many bands on the label. I just mentioned.
Come on, Anthony.
Triodos and Circus Survive were bigger ones, but you say I missed the biggest one. Coheed's bigger than Circa. Sorry, it's true.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Okay,
thank you.
Fine.
You don't You're argue right. with Waldman was, on was, Waldman's was, words, okay? Personal. Let's get it straight.
you're not going to, this band isn't that big. I don't know if you're going to guess it.
Can I look at Wikipedia? Because it's not going to say like it's Steve's friend's band. I just want to look at Wikipedia and see the list. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
You guys can talk while I do that.
Equal Vision. What's the year again?
2010,
I'm not
going to
even look that far. I'm just going to look at the list.
We know it's a metal band. We know they just came out with a song.
It's not like, was that when...
very small.
Was that when Hail the Sun was on Equal Vision? I'm trying to go
Hail
back
the
to
Sun,
that.
I think they were on EVR.
Early, yeah.
Is it Gideon?
Just small actors.
No, I know Gideon.
Is it? I'm gonna guess one more, and if I screw this up, I'm gonna be very upset with myself. But I'll get over it in time. Crap.
He's like cross referencing.
Well,
like
it might be crap subjectively, but can you just give me a letter, the first letter? And if I'm wrong, I'll Venmo Jed $1.
Yes.
It's F.
Oh, Fairweather. Fuck!
No.
That's the F. Okay, is it the Fall of Troy? All right, tell me what it is. No. I owe Jed $1. Hang on. No, I said $1. Yo, greedy Jed. Like, literally.
Guess wrong twice.
Ooh, you guys have a drum roll effect?
We could add one in.
it's For All I Am.
Oh.
All right. Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I never would have guessed that because I don't know the band that well. So, fuck.
Exactly.
But.
Yeah.
Now let's dive into that era. So was this high school that you were friends with them?
Well, actually, so I've been friends with the bassist and singer since fifth grade or sixth grade, or we go way back. And this was, I did a year of community college. So it wasn't right after high school. It was the following year that they really started getting active. And I played piano growing up, but for some reason I just was never able to pick it up, just the way my fingers moved. I don't know. And so I was like, all right, all my friends are like in this band and they're all doing cool stuff. They're about to go on their first tour. Like, what can I do? And I bought a Sony camcorder, and I downloaded, I think it was Sony Vegas or.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, this is an editing software. And I just filmed one of my other friends. They threw like a big party and I did a video, and I got like the DJ of the party hired me from it, and it just kind of snowballed. But it wasn't until I started going on tours with these guys, and we are filming like every day. So I kind of got, you know, within this like two, three year span of time, I like 10x'd my time with the camera. I don't know if you guys are familiar with like the 10,000 hour rule or whatever, right. But I got a lot of hours in those few years.
This episode might as well be called
Fuchs's getting enough clients.
Finalities, yeah. Because Jed is the guy for this. And by the way, I'm going to shut up in a second. Jed, can you do me a favor? Check your Venmo and read out loud what I paid you and what I tagged it as. By the way, I'm just letting you know, this is the most fun I've had on an episode in a while. So thank you.
Long time, actually.
Oh, nice.
First of all, I just got a Venmo for $1.
You condescending guy. That's what I said, but read the note.
From Scott Waldman, that simply says Chiodos. Okay, I'll take that. I accept. It's just funny to see a single dollar bill on a Venmo.
It's better than no dollars.
Yeah. Wow.
No, I don't want you to complain about it. That's such a millennial issue.
Yeah. But you have to pay taxes on it. So you got.
My God, I get like challenged for being generous. Yeah.
Well, as long as I don't claim it, but the IRS.
Oh, I'm claiming it as a business expense. You're right. So you're fucked, dude.
I'm emailing that to everybody. Will you 1099 me? You W-9 me, please? like Scott mentioned, those two run a artist management company together, but I'm a videographer, similar-ish to you. Maybe not as big as you, but that's okay. Everyone's doing their own thing.
Yeah, but Steve's not the co-host of Walden's
Work. You guys didn't tell me there's going
to... Yeah, true.
I know there's going to be competition in this room.
There's going to be an edit on. We're going to shoot a video and edit it in 2 seconds,
how
and whoever's
quick can
is better,
you
get to be
this?
The new...
Go!
Exactly. Hey, whoa, we'll talk about that at the end, because you might have just given us both triggered emotions. But I know it's really exciting, especially because, like you said, yeah, the 10,000 hours, you'll get that quick if you just get thrown in a van and told to follow a band and figure it out. Is that what happened?
Right. Yeah. I mean, well, I was in the, yeah. Oh my gosh. My first tour is so crazy, because we couldn't afford a trailer, because we bought the van. And so we had all the equipment in the van, and we were all in the van, and we would like end up sleeping, like sitting up like at Walmart, and like it was rough. But I really, really love that I had to go through that, because now I could edit with a computer. I could be upside down editing.
Yeah.
I could like literally any scenario. Mm-hmm. I could sleep anywhere. I could edit anywhere. It really, yeah.
I'm proud of you. That.
Right.
Thanks.
On a 2012 Windows laptop.
So when you were touring, did you think that you were going to stay within the music industry and maybe do this for other bands, maybe start doing content creation for a label?
That's a great question. Not particularly. So I was I did a lot of like music videos for like rappers. I didn't think I would be in music, especially the way that I am now, at all. You know, I was hoping for some corporate gig or for, you know, whatever. I never in a million years thought I would be actually working full time in music at
wait,
the level
were you hoping
that I'm
doing for something
right now.
Corporate?
Yeah. I know. Maybe it's a bit of brainwashing, you know, get a nice suit and tie job and whatever. but I had the time of my life touring. I'll tell you that.
I can tell you the same. I used to be a full-time musician in a band, and while I do not miss, you know, sleeping in cramped spaces and van farts, I do miss performing.
Yeah, showering in McDonald's. I can't tell you how many McDonald's we were kicked out of for taking a bath.
Wait, slow it down for a second. Where would you bathe at McDonald's? Because that I often would hear at rest stops. What do you do at McDonald's? You order hash browns and sunk in grease? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't order anything. We'd just have seven guys go to the bathroom. It was like with a soap and shampoo. And we would just like shampoo up and then take turns washing off. And
yeah, that's because it's much cleaner. You were definitely cleaner after you washed your hair in a McDonald's sink. Finally.
Dead. That was funny. I just want you to know that was really funny. By the way, just so you know, good, Steve, we are going to talk about your career now, but we're going to save that for the second half. But we just like to have a conversation wherein details are revealed. We learn a bit about you, and all three of us get to attack the fuck out of you. It's great.
Don't worry, we'll attack you. Right. Shush.
Yeah. Oh, see?
Yeah, attacked her.
I love being attacked.
But right, so like you said, like, oh shoot, like let me go get a corporate job. Let me go do something safe. I learned this skill. Now let me go do something safer with it. But as you know, solo entrepreneurs, especially video professionals, often find you got one gig and then that led to the next gig and then that led to the next one. And then suddenly here you are. Were you finding that happen even as early as that first tour with that band, with your friend's band?
Yeah. Sorry, repeat that. Repeat that last part.
Yeah. So were you just finding that your career was taking off one gig at a time, that you were getting calls, hey, come do this, come do that, even as early as that first tour with your friend's band? Is that when you were making contacts nationwide?
Right, exactly. I was making a living just making videos for people, and when I say living, I mean I didn't pay for food. I lived in my parents' house. Yeah. So I just had enough money basically to get tattoos.
But you were earning money.
And so
you were earning money. Learned,
yeah, exactly.
And everyone has to start somewhere.
Yeah. I was probably getting less than if I was working part time at McDonald's, you know.
Yeah.
But what if you were bathing at McDonald's? Would you get a different salary?
Yeah. 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 I'd have to pay more actually.
Although you'd get free showers, so it washes out in the end. But yeah, you were literally getting those jobs. You were literally getting calls.
We have about 5 minutes left in the segment. And in order to make this second segment as efficient as possible, because I want to get into a lot, can you kind of give us the rundown of how you got from going on tour with like a metal band to doing content direction and creative direction on,
yeah, because that's normally not very corollary, so yeah. I'm interested.
Yeah, I kept scaling up, and then I went backwards in like film, so like I didn't know any terminology or like shots or framing or this or that. I kind of started doing crazy edits and then worked my way backwards. So as I was working my way backwards, I started, oh man, I can get a slider and do a shot like this. I can get a crane and do a shot like that. I'm going to get a better camera, a better lens. And I just started scaling up, and I started doing I've done like commercials in Chicago area. And at one point I just hit a ceiling where I was like, all right, I've worked with like every local rapper. I've worked with every this and that. Like what, you know, where do I go from there? So I decided to move to Los Angeles so I can compete with the big fish. And that's kind of where everything took off. I started, and the listeners, feel free to take this little thing that I would do. When I first moved here, I would start posting on Craigslist different jobs, pretending that I was hiring. And I would do really crazy, for MTV or for this or that, because I was scoping out my competition.
Yeah.
So I would get a bunch of people. And I'd look through their demo reels, and I'd be like, well, I like this, I like that, I'm going to take this, I'm going to take that. And I basically created a demo reel that almost every time I submitted, I would get hired for that job. And that led me to like crazy gigs with like Stone Temple Pilots. And I actually filmed the last performance
with
STP and Chester.
Oh, with Chester.
Chester. Yeah. It led me to some crazy, crazy things. And at a certain point, I stopped using Craigslist because I got kind of like a more or less full-time job with like a tech company doing content marketing. So this is where those two worlds start colliding. I didn't understand what even a content marketer was. I thought I got hired to film and edit, but I was working with the marketing team. I'd be like, oh, well, using these colors will cause this feeling and doing this will, you know, so I kind of started looking into that and
I just want to say you're quite a hustler with market research. And yeah. I just want you to know that I've never heard anything like that before. But to your point of Craigslist, that's actually how I got into a band that got a major label deal. So you really never fucking know on that list.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of people like to knock Craigslist and like laugh, like, but no.
I met my wife on Tinder, dude, and people give me crap, and I'm just like, okay. Nice.
it's actually through Tinder is how I got working with a big YouTuber, this guy Triglies, because I met this girl through Tinder. It was back when they had Tinder group chats. And she was like, she was with her best friend, this gay dude, and I was flirting with the gay guy trying to meet up with her, and it actually worked. And we were like kind of seeing each other for a minute, but she was still on Tinder because we would just use it to troll people. And she matched with this big YouTuber.
Wait, you'd use it to troll
like,
people? I don't want to. What? What does that mean?
Yeah. It was just like a form of entertainment, you know, because I come from the gaming world and like chat rooms and IRC. And I just have like fun, like, you know, I never do anything mean or anything to insult people or anything like that. But, you know, just being playful.
Yeah, I feel like that's a younger generation thing because like my boyfriend and I did that too, especially at the beginning of quarantine because they gave you free passport. So I set my like radius to somewhere in like the middle of Wyoming or Arkansas. Stuff. First of all, killed in Arkansas. I need to go there immediately.
I'm still offended that you lied to people on Tinder. Everyone,
because Scott could have been one of those.
It
people.
Shows my location. They
well,
know
they,
where
they
I
might
am.
Just think you're delusional and not lying.
I think they thought I was fake, is what it was. Yeah.
At any rate,
too good to
holy yeah. shit, look. Craigslist, Tinder, yeah, deep dive. Anyway, holy shit, everything you're doing. Your market yep. research with Craigslist is extremely cool. That I would say is a hustler's blue point, but. I believe we have about 20-something seconds left of this segment. Am I incorrect? So
oh, you got it, buddy.
Tell me an adjective that you would use to describe the first half of this radio show.
Oh, gosh. This is...
No, 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 we're going to delay left. It until you answer.
I wanted...
2 seconds.
I want it to be playful. I guess playful.
I'll take it.
Okay. Playful's good.
I'm going to say
you
youthful.
Aww. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. Enjoy this tracks and ads from Adobe.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Waldman's Words. Today on the show, we have Steve Zilberman, who is a creative director. He's a viral engineer. He's just a normal dude, but he does a lot of stuff. We also have on the line Scott and Jed, who are always here because they are co-hosts. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
Zilbs. Zilby. I'm going to start coming up with nicknames for you. Tell me what you like and what you don't like. So Z-Dog, did you say that you were like hacking the Craigslist system to get yourself better jobs? You were interviewing people, having them send you their reels, and then you were editing their reels to make your own and send it off to people to get jobs?
No, oh my, no, no,
okay.
No, no.
Oh, okay. No, you were shooting, reshooting what you saw and liked.
Well, no. I was demo reel is all about how you present your work. So I would, for example, I would watch someone's demo reel and I'd be like, oh, well, they have like all the same shot or they have what, and if I get bored, I just move on to the next one.
Yeah.
So I basically just, I created a demo reel that I enjoyed watching that I thought you know, and this is something I learned later in life, but the reason I am successful in what I do is more because I'm able to curate. So I was able to curate my content in a way that would get me more work based off of everyone else's demo reels that I saw.
Right. And okay, got you. Makes a lot more sense. Wanted to confirm. Yeah. Because yeah, exactly. You don't, when you're still getting started, it's easy to not have perspective. So you literally like saw, exactly. You had to watch 100 reels to be like, okay, this is what a good reel looks like. And it worked. Exactly. And you got hired.
Yeah. Exactly. Because before that, I've never even seen a demo reel before.
Right. Exactly. And they've changed drastically over time as well. Now, if it doesn't have 12 dubstep drops in it, I'm not interested. But
I did use dubstep drops.
Yeah, you did. Fucking, that was the era, dude. Skrillex for life. But this is also, so we're entering the modern era of your career. You were in the tech startup, you're in the tech company doing content marketing, and did that give you the skills to branch back out on your own?
Yeah, well, that just started making me understand marketing, because I had no idea what marketing was. And then when you're working with the marketing team, you start learning. And like I said, look, a lot of this stuff is what I don't know what you want to call it, luck or God's plan or whatever. I was working with YouTubers simultaneously, so I was learning comedic editing. And what videos will do well online for them. And when you mix those two worlds together, that's social media marketing.
Yeah.
So I became that because of the two jobs that I was doing.
I have a question for you, because you brought up comedic editing, and for the record, I'm not 187, I'm 40, so I'm 10 years older than you. So what movies or TV shows did you watch growing up that you really found funny?
Oh man, wow. Little Nicky. It is Little Nicky.
That's our generation gap. That's like my least favorite Sandler movie. So you know what? I actually appreciate that someone's admitting that on the air.
Yeah, which also, by the way, I had the craziest night last week. Do you guys know who Pete Dante is?
Yeah.
Pete, if you're listening to this, I love you, man.
Dante.
Yeah, I just took a meeting for like 3 days at this hotel, and he would be watching me for 3 days. And after 3 days, he comes up like, look, man, I don't know who you are. I've just been watching you go from this table to this table. I need to get to know you. We got to hang out. And I just spent like 2 days hanging out.
That's cool.
Sometimes energies, dude, they just match. Yeah. But this kind of segued into something that I want to talk about with the marketing, because I have a lot of friends who do marketing for larger companies. I feel like it's a very millennial Gen Z job to go into right after college, especially in the year 2021. But I feel like a lot of people who run these companies, a lot of CEOs, a lot of head honchos, are still so out of touch even today. And so I feel like they'll hear a lot of stuff like, oh, well, what do you want to do for this social media campaign? What do you want to do for marketing? And the first thing they just say is like, let's go viral. And it's like, okay, what do you how do you want to do? Like, what do you have? Like, what do we do? So I just, as a standard, like, let's go right into it. What is the formula to a viral video?
Okay, so by the way, what you just said, the reason that a lot of people are out of touch now is marketing has taken a straight 180 degree turn from what it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. 10, 15 years ago, if you were to lie, that marketing would not work. Now you kind of have to lie. Does that make sense? It's like the more glamorous something is, the more ridiculous something is, the higher the chances of that. That's why artists like 6ix9ine are so popular. That's why presidents like Donald Trump become so popular.
Fuck that guy.
He learned early on.
Fuck that guy.
He learned early on. He would say something crazy on Twitter, and he doesn't get canceled, or he doesn't get whatever. And then just, you know, by the end of the presidency, he only says ridiculous stuff on Twitter, and eventually it stopped.
Have you heard of Kanye West? I don't know,
but. Kanye is another great one. But the thing is like those guys, like, sure, maybe they're bad guys, whatever. But I actually take a lot of lessons from things like that. I take a lot of lessons from this guy, Edward Bernays, if any of you guys have ever heard of him. I mean, people say he was worse than Hitler. He's the worst guy in history. Like, what the damage that guy has caused, he's taken our society from before Edward Bernays, you would only purchase what you needed, right? What Edward Bernays did is he created the need for want. So now, before, you would, you know, you needed a, if you needed a washing machine, you'd get the washing machine. But now it's, he's like, oh, well, look, your neighbor got this even better washing machine. You need this washing machine too, so you can be like your neighbor. You
know? So he's totally, right, quote unquote, made our society better.
Super good.
Yeah, yeah.
But then how does that research factor into the viral equation?
Well, okay. So Edward Bernays, his uncle was Sigmund Freud. So what he did, the reason he was able to do what he did is because he took the psychology of how people react. And that's essentially what I do when I'm coming up with a viral video. I'll give you an example. I did like a giant pizza box. And I ordered the world's biggest pizza or whatever. And I told the delivery people, try to fit this in the door. Obviously it won't fit in the door, but I knew psychologically if someone were to see that video, they would be like, how dumb are these people? Obviously this pizza isn't going to fit through the door. Right. And that's why that video worked, because a lot of people don't think like that. A lot of people are like, oh, it's a giant pizza box. Let's film the giant pizza box, hoping it would go viral, and it wouldn't. It's, you have to add that psychological factor that people, yep, will talk about in order for that piece,
well,
of concept, to work.
This might work for you given your age, because I'm doing math in my head, and this came out when you were, you know, an early teenager. Do you remember when Jessica Simpson had a reality show on MTV? Do you remember what the big quote unquote controversy was? The chicken of the sea, tuna fish. Basically, Jessica Simpson didn't know it was tuna fish, but maybe she did.
Yeah.
And it's a harmless thing for people to talk about. Oh my God, this dumb blonde. Oh my God, this dumb blonde. Oh my God, this dumb blonde. And shortly after that, her sister got a show. Her husband's career took off, and then obviously a lot of stuff happened, and now she nets, like, her net worth is over $200 million for just, like, clothing. So it gets people talking.
Well, all of Paris Hilton's career is that.
No, I was going to say Paris Hilton.
You know what I mean? That's, like, the early 2000s version. And I feel, obviously, when people say there's no such thing as bad press, I say you're wrong, because there is some really bad press. Like, if you molested a kid, that's not good press. But like things like this gets people talking, and no one's going to listen to that and be like, oh my God, she's a bad person. They're just going to be like, that's dumb. And they're going to talk about it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, how can musicians specifically use this strategy, or is there another strategy for them? Because I have been very, very pushy with all of our artists to get on TikTok, mainly because TikTok specifically, it translates to other social medias better than I've seen others do. But also, I obviously see a lot of small artists on TikTok, and I talked about this on the show before, but I want to say now it's kind of a pet peeve. I hate the videos of small musicians who their entire strategy to get streams is just, no one believed in me. I'm a small artist. I want to do this for the rest of my life. Like, please make my song blow up. I hate it. Because all I think in my head is like, why should I care? Yeah. Like, why should I care about you? Like, so many people want to be a musician.
Hey, Emily, do you hear this song playing right now? That's my song. Go stream it.
I don't care. And I'm not saying that I'm hard. I love listening to small musicians.
Yeah.
But what is the better approach for someone? Because also with virality, I feel like a lot of people don't realize that you have to maintain the interest of people. People can be interested in you for 15 seconds while you're going viral, but then what's next? What's the next step?
Well, you have to do something different. I mean, what you're asking is that, like, that's the toughest part of my job, is because a lot of the time, the reason that I'm so successful is because I paint the content not from the music point of view. I put the music in after. So with Oliver Tree, for example, no one even knew he made music for a year plus of us making content every day and getting a fan base and getting and pushing stuff. But with what you said, I'll give you an example. If you're a musician, do something different. So you want to play your song, go in a bathtub with a guitar and be playing your song, you know, because it's different is what works. If people haven't seen it before, or people have seen it before and it's worked, it might work again. That's another thing. I always take examples of so I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Macarena challenge, but the reason I basically took the Harlem Shake. I was like, well, the Harlem Shake was like from 10 plus years ago now. You have this whole new audience of 12-year-old kids that have never done the Harlem Shake. Let's incorporate the Harlem Shake into this dance trend. And it worked. I mean, I think there's like almost a million or billion, however many video recreations, but it has to be different. And the other thing too is with TikTok especially, let's say you do want to, do what you were saying, you know, saying that I'm a musician and this and that. Just you can do that every single day until it works. Also, that's the beauty with TikTok, is if you do want to go to the traditional route, it might not work for the first 100 videos, it might not work for the first 1,000 videos, but just the way that the algorithm works, it could end up working. So you cannot give up with TikTok. That's like the best advice I could ever give a musician. You
plagiarize what Emily says to our clients literally every single day. Just saying. Literally, like, every day.
I'm so desperate. I feel like I'm so annoying about it. And I tell them all, too. Like, one of our drummers, by the way, Frank Zubo on TikTok,
guessed
on
Walden's words a while ago.
But I'm like, please just send me the most basic of basic. Like, I do not want you to put effort into it. Like, if you are sitting down to play drums to practice, send me 30 seconds. Like, if you spend more than 5 minutes on a video, I do not want it. Just send me whatever. And a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. That also very smart. I learned earlier on, the more time and effort I put into a piece of content, the worse it'll do.
Yeah. Well, that's just a matter of sincerity versus dutiful planning. But I want to say something that right. you might never right. have even thought about based on what Emily said about, you know, like, make me viral, which, you know, I can only imagine what people say to quote unquote viral makers. But do you have any idea how many publicists get hit by a band that has more than, you know, maybe 3 or 4 songs and maybe 18 streams?
I'm going to pay you, but I need to be on Rolling Stone.
Or they get a booking agent for the first time, which is, you know, very admirable. And they're like, can you get me a tour with Taylor Swift? It's like, dude. Anyway.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
But yeah. I want to recap slightly. So now we're like fully in the modern era of your career. Can you tell us who you've been working with in like the past year, in this messed up past year, who you've been working with, what you've been up to?
Yeah. So right before the pandemic, Oliver Tree and I kind of split ways. I mean, when you're living and working and touring with someone for 3+ years, honestly, it gets old, or it just, we were just over. And if you look at all of our social media, like, he stayed being over it. I actually went even further, because I moved on to working with Mason Ramsey, the Walmart yodeling kid. He was under the same management as we were. In fact, I was one of the tweets that went viral for the Coachella thing. That was all set up. I was on tour at the time, and they sent me the video, and they're like, you gotta post this on Twitter, like, you're actually there. Went viral. So basically 95% of everything with Mason Ramsey was all very planned, besides obviously his original of viral video in Walmart. So from there, I was doing this, this dubstep, this artist Borgor social media, I was working with Fuck Jerry's head of marketing, this girl, Joey. This was during the pandemic, but I ended up going to Nashville when one of my partners that I work with started getting into the TikTok space. And that's the Macarena trend was kind of like the first taste of TikTok that I got. And then from there, I literally from Nashville back to LA, and we brought a bunch of TikTokers who at the time were big, but now they're in the double digit millions or whatever. We brought them over to Tyga, introduced them. Tyga kicked it off with them, loved the platform. He used the platform to become extremely relevant again, and specifically his streams. Like he gets a billion plus streams a year from an artist that, you know, when you hear Tyga, oh, the Lil Wayne Tyga. And then kind of from there, it's led me to, this past year I've worked with everyone from Marshmello to Kid Laroi, Nas X.
Nas X's social media, is great. And the reason why I think it's great.
So good.
Well, goes back to what we said before. Like, I feel like it's real. And I don't know if you knew about this, but do you remember when Scott Disick literally copied and pasted his, you know, Instagram comment with tips from
the
publicist or a person like you behind it? And that's when you know it's not good.
right, exactly. No, not, I mean, Nas is the best. That's like, if I looked up to anyone that's an artist, like,
and he's
that,
so young,
that would be him. Yeah, and actually my partner was, these are the guys that found Old Town Road, and they brought it over to Ron at Columbia, and now that's the biggest song in history of the world. The plaque that they sent my partner, it's I think like six or 7 feet.
Oh,
the plaque, and it said to the biggest song in the history of
well
the
I mean I'll just yeah. I'll be straight with you. I think Happy Birthday to You and White Christmas are slightly bigger, but you know those but it's yeah. It might be one of the bigger ones in the modern world. But was that 7 foot tall plaque bigger or smaller than the pizza?
It was smaller.
See, we listen, we pizza's circle back.
Pizza's big.
Yeah, and anyway I've been working with all these different artists because I do a lot of like one-off things if somebody needs something. But I work full time with a producer, well, and now artist Benny Blanco, and a TikToker Bella Porch, who she's under the same management as the Walmart Yodeling kid Mason. So again, I very lucky. The partners that I ended up linking up with were just so good at curating and finding talent before it gets bigger. They found Bella when she had maybe like 2 million followers or something, and they weren't even managing any other artists at the time because they're no longer managing Mason, and they reached out to manage her because they saw the potential, and she has the most liked video in TikTok history, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just me being placed in these situations, whether you call it luck or whatever it is, and I took full advantage of the situation, learned from it, worked on it, used what I learned and the whatever skills, and moved it on to.
Well, I just want to say, because we have under 5 minutes left, that regardless of your stance on like divinity or luck or whatever, I will just say factually, it is a combination of luck and your efforts. I mean, you.
Yeah. Right.
Make your own luck in some extent, you know, some extents. And so I just want you to know that based on, you know, the past almost 50 minutes conversation, you've shown that you know how to capitalize on your luck.
Right. Boom. Right.
That's it.
Wow. That's a great one.
Thank you. I want you to quote me and cite me every time.
And
So we're here, dude. We're sadly very quickly nearing the end of the show. And you gave some good advice to Emily in terms of musicians on TikTok and musicians positioning themselves. But now can you speak to the geeks like us who are on more of the content side of things and how they can get hooked up with those artists? What should they be doing? A young version of us. What should a young us be doing in 2021?
Are you talking about from the management side, finding talent?
from the creative side, from if you were 16 today, what would you tell that version of you to go do?
Oh, do stuff that you find funny and entertaining. Because if you have good taste, then it'll work out. I mean, okay, if you don't have good taste, just keep doing all the trends and stuff that you see, or mm-hmm. duet as many videos as possible and stitch as many videos. Because the crazy part about TikTok is it's our social media that's driven by such a younger generation. When we were getting on Facebook, there wasn't like 11-year-old kids on Facebook, 12-year-old yeah. kids on Facebook. It was more like college, high school. You know, now because they're so young, it's difficult for us to see things from their eyes because their brains aren't as developed, and they will catch on to things in videos that you would just never in a million years. Like, I can't tell you how many videos I've like clicked on and then looked through the comments, and there's thousands and thousands of comments talking about something so rant, like,
yeah,
look at the color of this guy's bookshelf, and it's it's
look at these four so bands on Equal Vision. I'll Let's critique Scott on the ones he didn't mention.
Well, their bullshit detectors are crazy because yeah. they grew up on the internet. Like, I'm 23, so I do remember a time before I like really used the internet very well. Like, I did have AIM, but I was like 11 or 12. Whereas, like, these kids do not remember a time before social media. So
right.
they're bullshit detectors for this stuff. You would think yeah. it's the opposite, that they're very easy to fool, but they're mm-hmm. not. They will, if something is insincere, if something is a slight bit out of place, they will be able to find it.
I feel like that's the same thing about bands yeah. live too. It's like when you watch a band live and you listen to their banter mm. or even not even their banter, just their demeanor. You know when something is rehearsed, like a synchronized dance, or you know when someone says something to the crowd that is either heartfelt or heartfelt in quotes, you know.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know what? Like that. So that's a kind of the thing that that I like to credit, maybe not myself.
Credit yourself. That's fucking baller to close the show.
but making things look as real as possible, but keeping it fake. So for example, you can have somebody walking with a glass of water and they'll trip and the glass will break. People will be like, oh, well, whoa, I don't think they purposefully broke a glass for this video, but it works. And half of it is making it look real, but the other half is shooting it real. So that's why if you go to my TikTok, it's Zilbersteve, and you look at the videos that I've been posting, they all look like I'm just hiding behind a bush, like randomly filming some Joe Schmo walking down the street. No, those videos are very planned and very calculated. And that's why they get into the millions of views. I mean, I got one that is just Bella dancing and I'm shooting it as if I'm in the bush, and it's got like 22 million plays or something. Like, it making something feel genuine is half what's going on and the other half how
I have a question presented. You might not have been asked in a public forum ever. And then we'll close this out because I just followed you on Insta. Do you intentionally follow 420 people?
Yep.
And how many posts does he have? 666, since you weren't going to get to it in time. So you can't post ever again, actually, sadly.
No, I take the post down, and every time I add someone else, I have to remove someone else. And the reason I have that is because 420 and 666 are two of the most viral numbers.
Smart.
So, I'm working with Instagram right now, trying to get. I guess I shouldn't reveal the handle yet, but probably it's the best handle on Instagram, and the account is thankfully inactive, and I'm very stoked on that. That's what'll really push it.
And you're gonna have to follow up with Steve to see what's going on, because sadly we've hit the end.
And if you
want
to follow
show,
me back, you're gonna have to cut Steve- someone else. Holy shit.
I have a Rolodex of about a dozen people.
Oh, I will know if you follow and don't follow me.
Can you please tell us where we can find you on all your socials?
Yeah, it's just Zilbersteve across everything. That's spelled Z-I-L, B as in boy, E-R-S-T-E-V-E, Zilbersteve.
Hey, wait, I just got a Venmo notification from Jed Fuchs. This is not a joke. This is not something that is premeditated. This is sincere. And he just gave me a dollar for Coldplay. So I guess none of us are in the red.
And that's how you go genuinely viral, people. It's called honesty. If I learned one thing from Steve today, it's that. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Waldman's Words here on Adobe Radio, either live at 5 p.m. Pacific through Adobe's website or their app, or you're listening to us as a podcast wherever podcasts are available. Our fearless leader, Scott Lewis Waldman, on all platforms except for Twitter, where he's Lido Beach. Our incredible co-host, at Emily Burke, with three E's in total. You figure out where they go. I'm at Jed Fuchs. You figure out how to spell that on all platforms except for TikTok, where I'm at Jed the Fish, and Twitter, where I'm still suspended. Steve, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Every time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Steve.